Well, Teresa, who are we going to look at today?
We're going to look at Lady Antonia Fraser,
Aha.
the great writer. She's a 4-6 manifesting generator on the right angle cross of the Sleeping Phoenix in the quarter of duality, fifth color, left fixed, single definition, an unconscious 34-20, conscious and unconscious 42-53, conscious and unconscious 39-55, and then the 59-6 is unconscious, with the 59 also being conscious. It's her son, 59-4.
Very interesting. I mean, I'm glad she's as busy and with her stuff as she is, because I've read her for years, from I think Mary Queen of Scots.
That was the first one that she wrote,
Oh,
yeah.
and I have a very interesting book that you don't see a lot on Cromwell, our chief of men. So history and the history of monarchy and things like that, and
What she said, and you would relate to this, that history, she actually, where she went to school, the Dragon School, which was very elite, they didn't really teach her history, and that turned out to be a really good thing because it was really her escape. It was really her pleasure. It still is, right? To do all of this historical research, right? She says she doesn't read any of this stuff that's sort of made up because history itself is so interesting, right?
No, she'd be the one. I mean, to really write personal kind of memoirs with that Channel 59-6, that's all about intimacy and all about the bonds, but it's very personal. So in reading her books, you really felt she was, first of all, very authoritarian, or authoritative, with her details and facts and the research. I remember thinking, reading Mary Queen of Scots, God, the research she must have done. I think she did one on Elizabeth I, too, if I'm not mistaken. But, well, the research and things like that. And then, of course, Lady Antonia Fraser. So I always had the idea that she had some access to archives that maybe other people wouldn't, or recollections from actually the family members of some of these people.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's a lady because her father was a lord, and so certainly, she's well connected in that sense. But, just this busyness, and I think the whole channel of development, of really, being able to do the research. She actually talks about that. What she does is she does all of the research, and then she puts that aside, and then she just writes the book. So she gets completely immersed, in the whole story, the beginning, the middle, the end of whatever this person and their life is all about, I think at such an intimate level. Then she just writes the book, and then she corrects it based on the
Right,
history.
now that's so interesting, because with this open head Ajna, the very intellectual, but really all three of these mental formats, the past, the pattern for the future and the moment, but the spirit of it, I think she gathers it all and has it in her, and then it just comes out,
Right, because
in
she
this odd
really
way.
has, I think, because of this intimate, this penetrating, right? I mean, we know that 59-6 is so penetrating, just really penetrating into the essence of the spirit. And you see that she writes about a person. She writes about Mary Queen of Scots. She writes about Cromwell, right? She's interested in people, not historical events. I mean,
Right, exactly, yes. No, quarter of duality, so again, it's that bond between people. And with her cross, the right angle cross of the Sleeping Phoenix.
Well, and she has the 59, what, three times, right? I mean, intimacy, and the 59-6, she ends up, with Harold Pinter, and her most recent book is called Must You Go. I mean, it's one of the reasons she came to my attention, because it's based on these diaries of her last 33 years with Pinter.
No, I think that's so interesting, because this is quite a force of nature here, this Antonia Fraser. And we had done Harold Pinter previously, and he's quite a trip. S both single definition people. And the curious thing is they meet each other at Chiron or Bond at that time, and both of them having the 59-6.
Well, it's so funny. Her brother said to her, you know, that she really had a problem, that she was such a strong woman, right?
Right.
And that, but that she was the kind of strong woman that wanted the man to be just as strong. And really, that's what's really noticeable, is that, you know, obviously the bond between them was long-lasting, passionate, and it was really this relationship of equals. I mean, she's really a force herself, you know?
And with an open G center.
Right.
So, I mean, talk about somebody who could really take in the environment and the place of the people she was writing about. This is historical.
Mm-hmm.
And she's English, and she wrote primarily about these English people. So I think just going to the sites where these people lived and things like that, she would just soak it up. I mean, get her identity from that. And, you know, what she did and being with Harold Pinter, I mean, both of them, the 42, 50?
Well, they had that,
as a companionship.
As a companionship, yeah. No, it's interesting in that, she's got that second gate. It's unconscious, right? But it's this intelligent application, right? Reason management of resources. I mean, that's one of the things that's so noticeable, is that these books, there's so many resources. I mean, it's so complete, like you're saying, all of these details, right?
Right. You know, it's impressive. And looking at that, and then looking at her and Harold Pinter, and seeing, oh, that's their an electromagnetic they have, you know, which helped him with direction probably for the last 30 years of his life.
Well, you know, what she talked about, and of course I would find this fascinating in our relationship, right? But they had all kinds of arguments, right? Political arguments. She would really argue with him politically, because he was pretty far to the left, right? And that, you know, but other than that, you know, she wasn't arguing with him. They had a, you know, kind of a wonderful life together. But just this kind of, you know, being able to like meet each other and have such, I think, valuable discussions, that, you know, it was obviously a relationship that helped both of their careers, both of their lives. And, you know, she's still alive and, you know, busy putting out this new book. And she's been writing these crime novels with about this detective. This is kind of this other side of her, right? And she's saying that's kind of just to make sense in the world, right, that the crime can be solved or whatever,
right? And, you know, no activations at her splenic center, you know, and thinking about survival and security, and are we going to make it, and and funnily, of course, with her and Harold, I mean, she got a spleen from the relationship, and he got a solar plex, you know, he got the warmth and the juicy, you know.
Well, she's definitely, she's so juicy, there's no doubt about that, you know. And busy. I mean, you know, 13 nonfiction.
Right.
And we're not talking about little pamphlets here.
No, right? No, that's what so impressed me. These books that she wrote, biographies, I think Louis the 14th also, or was it Louis the 15th? These are 500-page
Yeah, 700 page, they're really...
And a good writer, because they read like novels, is what's really good. But you knew her research, or I knew from other sources, that she had a very good research.
Mm-hmm.
I think interesting, when we're talking about putting Harold and Antonia together, that 22nd gate first line, which is, you know, that's her North Node, second class ticket, but it's enjoying a subordinate position. So here's Harold getting a Nobel Prize and all this other stuff. I'm sure she's gotten lots of awards and recognition. But it wasn't a problem for her, I would say, from looking at the charts.
Well, no, and that's, you know, that's what her brother was saying. You know, she was strong, but she needed a man that was really even stronger, which, you know, definitely he fulfills that. I think the other interesting thing is that she's a 4-6, you know. She really is kind of this voyeur, you know, really, you know, watching and checking it out, but then being able to really express.
Right. Interesting, too. 59th gate, fourth line, person, which it's really, it's the power of a non-sexual union, you know, brotherhood, sisterhood. So it isn't to say, oh, they weren't really hot together sexually.
Well, she had the 59-6, so that's the other side there. But, no, I think...
But, you know, it was a companionship, a friendship.
A friendship. Oh, no. You know, they were great friends. And I think that that's also part of... You see that she writes about men and women, right? I mean, you know, Mary Queen of Scots, but Cromwell. It's like this ability to not just, although she's obviously, you know, very interested in women and women's rights and all that, but I think this gives her, you know, the view of both.
Right, right. No, and both, you know, could be moody and melancholy and kind of, you know, the 3955 and conscious and unconscious. So it's like, you know.
Yeah, no, they had, obviously, they had a great, great relationship for a very long time. And she's obviously, you know, quite a force, and he was too. And it's been really fun looking
at
the two of them. Yeah, yeah.
Especially, as you said, the differences in who they were. And yet, you know, what each could bring to the table and appreciate each other.
Right. Right.
But not for the things that the other one possessed,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And Teresa, for God's sake.
Oh, well, it was so interesting.
I think we should say goodnight, Teresa.
Goodnight, Teresa.